Blog Talk Radio.
With Miss E. I don't know if it was just me or what, but it sounded like Rachel's weekend was really dragging this evening. And she's probably feeling a little bit like I've been feeling today. But I have been excited and looking forward to this evening's broadcast. You know, they say that, you know, you're living your passion when you can be feeling just totally out of it and ready to put your head under the pillow, but when that, whatever it is that you do, it comes time, you become wide awake, and it's like everything is all good again. And that's the way I feel about my work with Heart. And I'm very pleased to have a couple of our previous guests from earlier this month on the line, and I told them before the call began that they are now my resuscitation team. And it's like breathing fresh air to know that you're working with people who share your passion, who understand the struggle that it can be sometimes, but also understand the necessity and the importance and the realness that it is a vision that will come to pass. So I am grateful. This has been a challenging day, to say the least, but I've also learned that when you're doing anything that's worth being done, you're going to come up against controversy. So our just challenge. And I told Dr. Cookie earlier today, I said, you know, today I wanted to shut the village down.
I said, no.
But no, we know we cannot do that. So, again, this is our culminating call for National Foster Pride Month for 2012. And even though this is the end, we know this is really just the beginning, and it's the middle for many of us. And we want to thank our sponsor for this month, Foster Focus Magazine, that is edited and founded by Chris C., and he'll tell you how to pronounce his name once we're done. So I'm just real thrilled just to have this time. And thank you, everyone, for being willing to come back on again, because I know schedules have been very busy. So we're going to start with the beginning of the month, where we had Chris. Are you there, Chris?
I am. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the initial like you do. I think it works better for everybody. It's Chris Chmielewski, but I think we're going to go by Chris C. from now on.
Okay. I love it. Okay, Chris C. But I almost had it right. I said it, what? I can see it when I'm looking at it, but I'm not looking at it. So, Chris C.
That's
like, you know,
Miss okay.
G, and Candy G, and Dr. C. We're going to have it all. So, welcome back, Chris. It's so good to have you.
Well, thank you very much, Raven. It's been a very busy month this month. Started with you, and it's ending with you for the most part. So, that's been an exciting little circle for me.
I'm loving it. I am loving it. Tell our audience about, before you know, we start to talk about what we've done this month, tell our audience what your involvement is in foster care and the past, present, and future.
Okay. Well, again, I'm Chris, and I run Foster Focus Magazine. It's the only monthly foster care magazine in the country, and I'm a former foster kid who aged out. So you're talking to, you know, directly to someone who's been affected by care, and I bring that same vigor each month with every issue, and we've got foster care experts and talented writers who all share their expertise in order to get the word out about what's going on in foster care.
I love it, and I just find you to be so personable, which makes it even easier and more motivating to get the information out, and I'm just thrilled about what you're doing and hoping to be more involved with the magazine itself, if I can even get my own newsletter out.
Well, you have an open spot with us.
Oh, wow. Thank you. And we're going to come back to hear about the other activities that you were involved in, another that I was had the opportunity to share with you earlier this month. So we're going to move next to, actually, in the absence of Mr. Courtney Jumpman Castro, who is actually on the court as we speak, but he has, speaking in his behalf, our next guest is Dr. Cassandra Cookie Humphrey. Dr. C.
Happy Foster Care Month.
Happy Foster Care Month. How are you?
I'm good. Unfortunately, Castro is playing basketball and hopes to get on the line with us at some point before the night is over. But in his behalf, I will speak for him and say that Courtney Castro is a former foster child who also aged out of the system and is also a professional basketball player. It just so happens that I also manage Castro, so I could speak to the collaboration that we do in terms of Foster Care Month, which would speak for what he does and some of what I do as well. 3 years ago, I started the literacy program. Basically, my book came out 3 years ago, which is All Cookies Ain't Sweet. And I use that book as a tool to get into the school systems and to different organizations and placement service agencies in terms of providing a book for foster care participants. In any event, the guys, which are the Ball for Life basketball players who are also under the Humphrey House umbrella, they are the main ones that go out and give these books to students and talk to students. And when I say students, participants, anybody within the social service agency. So that's been going for 3 years. Now, 2012, this year, I rolled out the Foster for a Day program.
Okay, now before you go into that, introduce yourself. Then we're all going to go back around and talk about what we've done this month.
Okay, oh, absolutely.
Okay, so you introduce us to Castro. I call him Courtney, but that's just a mama thing. Call your child by your name. But tell us who you are.
Okay, Dr. Humphrey, Cookie, Cassandra. And I fall under the umbrella of A, Humphrey House, B, All Cookies Ain't Sweet as an author. That's my book. And I'm a former foster child who also aged out of the system. And in terms of giving back, I created Humphrey House, which is a nonprofit organization dedicating to empowering children in foster care and inner-city youth. With that comes the literacy program, which I just spoke upon. Now I'll move into the program that I just rolled out this year, which is the Foster for a Day program. And basically, like I said, I just rolled it out this year, and basically the goal for the project was being able to just touch the life of a child via any form possible, in person, via the Facebook, texting, so any form of technology, being that that's what the majority of our youth today. And so far, it has went well. I did have the opportunity to also go to two facilities, one in D.C. And one in one in Maryland. And I really had a good turnout. Both places, totally different turnouts. One department was with girls, and one department was with boys. But all in all, it went very well.
Wow. And I'll ask you a little bit more details about that. I think our third present guest, our fourth invited guest to speak is on, so I'm going to push this line and hope that this is, let me see, which one was it? Let's see, is this Heather? Are you on the line, Heather? I guess not. That was not her. Okay, we've got someone else. I'm looking at the area code so I can try to see who's there. Anyway, we're going to keep going, and eventually we will get to her. So you've told us about who you are, who you're affiliated with, and what your initial affiliation is with the foster care system. And I am so proud to be able to say that you're a foster care alumni. You know, I had not heard that term until I heard about Foster Care Alumni Association. And I love that terminology. Some people, you know, say, you know, they're a transitioned youth or emancipated youth or aged out. And I just love the alumni because it gives a sense of status, you know, accomplishment. And my goodness, it is more than an accomplishment. And adding to that, the work that you're doing now is just totally awesome. Just totally awesome. And let's go back to, I'll let each of you just sort of trade off to talk about, I guess I should introduce myself for those who have not listened to our call before. I'm Miss E, also known as the Heart Lady. I'm the founder and director of Four Child Heart, which is a nonprofit agency that provides counseling and support services to children living in foster care or any placement outside from their biological parents. I am a former social worker. I am an adoptive parent and a former foster parent and a therapist that provides services specifically. I specialize in the areas of children and youth who have been separated from their biological parents. So this is my passion, and I am so grateful to be able to give a platform to those who really know. My pet peeve is that I often have gone to trainings and conferences, and everyone is telling us what works and what's good for these children, and some of it to me doesn't even click to be accurate for me. But then at the same time, when I look at their experiences, when I look at the lives of the young people who have come through, and many now who are now adults that I've worked with who have been able to tell me what worked and what did not work. And for me, that is the expertise that I am looking for. So I really appreciate that wholeheartedly. So let me try one more time to see if this is Heather.
Hello?
Heather, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. We're here.
Hello.
So this is Heather O'Neill. And
hello.
Heather is an author, a child advocate, and she will share with you a little bit down the line about her current work. Did you hear the introductions that our other guests have given already?
I have. We have a storm going on here, so it's kind of hard to hear you a little bit. But what would you like me to do? You want me to tell people about me a little bit?
Yeah, just tell who you are, what your affiliation is with foster care.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. My name is Heather O'Neill, and I'm an author and an advocate. I created Foster Children's Day in 2000 in the state of New Jersey, which is legal, and the bill is now was heard, actually, in the House, and we're hoping to make it national. And
great.
The day is for us. I mean, foster parents have their own day. Foster grandparents have their own day. Social workers have their own day. There's no reason why foster children can't have their own day. Right?
Excellent.
But, you know, I didn't know that all these other foster grandparents and all that had a day. And I
do.
your listing about, you know, the chocolate chip cookie day and all of those other days, you know, which really, you know, in comparison to human life, have very little significance. It's like, wow, that's amazing. What does it take? So we'll talk a little bit more about your effort and what it took to get the day legalized in the state of New Jersey and what steps you're taking from here on out to make it national and what we as supporters and advocates can do as well.
Well, it took me in New Jersey a very long time. It took almost 7 years to get it passed in New Jersey. And then when the day actually came, it took another 5 years to really educate people about the foster care system. So the whole thing has been quite a process. It didn't come easy. And I had to knock on a lot of doors in order to get something done. But to me, symbolically, Foster Children's Day represents change. And it will represent us having a voice a lot more than what we have. So this way we're not just heard on Foster Care Month. We can be heard all the time. And, you know, I was abandoned in the system. I was a lifer. I lived there my whole life in the foster care system. And I don't want anybody to walk out of the system without having a family. I just don't think that that's right. And I think if we can educate people more, we would be better.
Exactly. And that's what the awareness is all about. And my wholehearted effort is to get people to realize they tend to think foster care is just something sort of like tucked away and they're dealing with people every day that are affected by it, but at the same time not understanding the emotional and the mental state it places one in and how we have to be the one, you know, as the village. You know, the system can only do so much. We as the village are the ones who have to implement the day-to-day heart and perceptual changes that are going to make the difference. So I'm glad that you made it. And
I was going to tell you, the Foster Children's Day has made a lot of changes in New Jersey. We dropped the homeless rate by 15% because we've been able to help former foster care children and the kids that are aging out on their way out. And so we've done everything by giving free driving lessons, a lot of different things in order to fill that need and so they're not making up the welfare system or becoming homeless.
Wonderful. And that is something that needs to be, a template needs to be made to carry on. What
Absolutely.
We're going to talk about now for the next few minutes is just what has Foster Care Month meant to those of us here on the line, and what did you do this year to promote or to celebrate National Foster Care Month? So I'm opening that up to Chris, Cookie, or Heather, and even myself.
Well, I'll go ahead and start, if I may. This is Dr. Humphrey.
Hi, Dr. Humphrey.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
In terms of what it meant to me, actually, I always look forward to the month of May. Although I do promote awareness 24/7, but I look forward to it because it's an opportunity for me to speak on a different platform because it's considered a national day. I mean, a national month. So we are speaking about this 24/7. It brings hope to me because it gives me an opportunity to speak to young children who I've never spoken to before, speak to youth that I've never spoken to before, and share my journey with them. Once I'm able to do that, they're able to see that they're not alone. So it's hope for me, it's victory. And to me it's just uplifting when you're able to just be able to do something for someone who you share a common bond with.
Yeah. And what are some of the places that you are able to go into to speak?
Well, I went into two. I went into a group home in Maryland, which were girls, which were ages 7 to 8 to about 12.
Okay.
And my goal was to be in there like 3 or 4 hours. My goal was to be in there about 2 hours. I ended up being in there about 5 hours. The girls were just all over me, so lovable. I let these girls play in my hair. I let them we had a tea party. We just had such a good
cute.
We had such a good time. And I remember when it was time for me to leave, I just, you know, try to wrap it up, and I just said, if you,
they were sad, right?
If you could make one wish, what would that wish be? And, it, you know, a lot of them were, you know, to go home, to find a family that loved me. And that always, like, cuts me in half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I just kind of wanted to get, you know, just to kind of see where they're at. And then there was the one girl in there who really just didn't, and she was the youngest, she just really didn't understand why she was there.
No.
And that's always difficult when you have no idea why you're there. And she was the youngest. I want to say that she was 7 going on 8, or she may have just turned 8. So that was the that's what I went through with that group. But then on the other side, when I went to D.C., I had the boys. The boys were a little bit older. The boys could care less about me being there. I've seen a lot of, you know, behavioral issues with the boys. And you just see, I've seen a lot of anger. A lot of anger. So that's definitely, although I go back to both of the homes, that's definitely one home that I definitely want to continue to make my presence there. And I noticed during the time that I was there, I was able to peel back those layers like an onion. I was able to, you know, slowly pull those layers back and kind of gain a little bit of trust. Not a lot, but a little bit.
Yes. And that is something that I feel so strongly about, is the getting through the layers, because so many of our young people get dismissed and labeled before they're even able to understand what's going on themselves. You mentioned the young ladies not understanding. Well, the guys probably don't have an either. By now, they have plenty of opportunity to formulate bits and pieces of stories which warp their perception. And then again, a lot of it may be actually true, but at the same time, it just puts that head there that covers up and shields the true essence of who they really are, and that, you know, that sweetness underneath that layer. So, yes.
If I could just mention one more thing. I'm sorry to cut you off, Missy. If I could just mention one more thing. The boys couldn't understand why someone wanted to take time out of their schedule to spend time with them. They just didn't feel the value within themselves, that they were important enough. And I found out that a lot of people do community service there. So they just kept asking me, who sent me here? Am I there for community service? And I'm like, no, I came on my own free will. And they just couldn't understand, like, well, of all the places you could be, why would you want to be here, is basically what the question is.
Isn't that amazing?
I wanted to ask Dr. Cookie a question. When they age out, which one do you think is more resilient, the boys or the girls, when they actually leave the system?
That's a difficult question. I
can hop in on that one.
I want to say boys.
Do you think the boys are resilient?
No, Missy, yeah, I think it might be off. I think the girls are far more resilient. The boys do what the good doctor said. We get angry. We don't necessarily take the necessary steps to do what's best for us. We go with gut reaction. So if I can answer that question, I'd like to say I think the girls are far more prepared for what's going to happen next than the boys. We're angry when we age out, and then the girls seem to have a little bit more of a feel for what's about to happen to them.
If I put myself in those shoes, I would definitely say yes. You know, but and that was me and you know, how I, you know, my mindset and things of that nature. But you know, I agree.
Well, I mean, if you think of it from this perspective, we've got that anger pent up, and it's going to take a while for that anger to disappear. Not until that anger disappears can you actually be productive. So that's what's happening there. Yeah, so that's what's happening there. We're angry, and you can't be productive when you're angry.
Is there a difference between anger and rage, or just anger?
It's just anger. The rage is when you feel. I mean, I've actually, you know me. I'm pretty happy-go-lucky. but the rage, I think, is from the fact that you're cornered there at the last second of the time that you're protected. I mean, you've been protected. Let's say, for instance, you're in care for 3 years. Well, during that 3 years, you were protected. You were given food. You were sent to school. You were told what the proper way was to go about life. And then all of a sudden, they're saying, okay, I hope you remember all that, because do it next week. That's when you're on your own. So you know, it's hard to. So when you're young and you're a man you think you're a man and you're angry about your situation, your first reaction isn't to go, okay, well, I'm going to get me a savings account. No, your first reaction is to get all angry and shut everything down and blame everybody. But instead of just tackling the issue at hand, and that's, I think the rage would be that last day. Where you're really presented with the fact that, okay, tomorrow you better have a place to wake up in or it's going to be cold, you know. So, I mean, it really, you're too angry to see that logic. And so I think, yeah, the girls and the women, I think they are fully more mentally prepared. I mean, even if they're damaged, they still have a better grasp that I'm on my own, I've got to take action or I'm going to end up, you know, in dire straits. So I didn't mean to jump in, but I didn't want that question to go, you know, unanswered. I think if we were to do percentages, 75% of the girls are better prepared to go out of care than, say, oh boy, 90% of the boys. Their boys are just not ready. We're just not ready.
However, I believe that when we look at resilience, really means the ability to, you know, bounce back. I don't know back to what, but really to adapt and to go. Because when we talk about anger, everybody deals with their anger in the same way. And I think guys generally in the past have tended to be more outward. Their anger has been directed outward. Unfortunately, most females, their aggressive behavior, their anger,
yeah.
And it becomes depression and it becomes more self-injurious type of things, but that's going over into another topic. But I would say, I don't know if there's a gender difference. I think it all has to do with each individual, as one of the persons
that I was thinking.
And I believe that it all has to do with how traumatic someone's abuse or an abandonment and neglect has been in their life and who has been there. Because the resilience, actually, is one of our guests last year. With Troy Payne, who wrote his book on resilience, and it's awesome. And I love, he's a former foster youth in Canada. And in the book, he talked about some of the keys to build resilience. And actually, he and I are going to do some workshops together. So I think that part really has to do with who and what has been around, the type of support system, what type of village the person has had.
I think it's a lot of key factors that play into it. And
mm-hmm,
I think
mm-hmm.
each person's
actually,
circumstances may be a little different.
He says, I see the opposite. I've always seen the boys pick it better than the girls, but it's really individual basis. And then at the end, she said, yes, I agree with E with that completely. Thank you, Nikki. We thank you for our guests in the chat room for lending your ears, too. I want to move on to Chris to talk about what activities did you partake of in during this year, being the anniversary of your magazine. What activities did you participate in to celebrate National Foster Care Month?
Well, sleep wasn't one of those activities. I've been pretty much on since the first of the month. Well, I've done a lot of radio. I did a little local TV. I went out to New Jersey to sit with Heather and talk about National Foster Care Day. I've been everywhere. On Thursday, I'll be in Washington, D.C. at the Foster Youth Caucus listening tour, trying to get a feel for what they're doing. So I've had a lot going on. We're also doing the auction for the Chameleon Network that's going to help benefit aging out kids out in California. It's my first attempt at it. I think I'll be better next year. We'll find another nonprofit that needs some assistance, but it's been a good experience. I tell everybody this is the 1 month out of the year where everybody wants to talk to me, and then of course the next 11 months it'll be hard to get people on the phone. But
I agree with you, Chris.
It's a good month to be to be running the National Foster Care Magazine, that's for sure. It's definitely a lot of people want to get some insight, and it's nice to be one of those places that they go to get that insight. But it's been pretty impressive. I mean, for only being in the spotlight for a year to gain the kind of respect and credibility that the magazine's been able to do so far, I'm a little impressed with myself, but you can't do that, can you, Missy? You gotta be humble. Because it can all disappear in 1 minute. So you gotta stay on top of it, stay humble about it. But no, it's been a great month. I've been fortunate to do a lot of things, and I'm really excited for DC and get to hear what Representative Karen Bass and Representative Marino and all those folks have to say about the state of foster care right now.
I love it. Now, did you find that this year was different than years before in terms of all the activities?
Well, everyone that's talking right now is deeply involved with foster care. So for us, this is the Super Bowl. This is what you've been, advocating all year for. This is the time that you get to really get your message out there. So for us, yeah, it feels like there's been a lot more media attention brought to foster care this year with some of the stuff that's gone on. But overall, I think maybe we're catching some people that haven't been involved in foster care before, and maybe we're opening some eyes for some former foster kids to let them know that you don't have to struggle. Just got to do what Heather does. And you got to get on them and stay on them for 7 years until you get what you want accomplished. So.
Yeah. And even in the struggle, you don't have to struggle alone. That's my statement, because even though we desire to make things a lot more smoother for our young people and everyone who's advocating, sometimes it's just crazy out here. But the thing about it, you can know you're not alone. And for me, that makes the biggest difference in the world. And you're right. This is like home for us. It's like we get all excited. It's like, it's foster care month. I jokingly tell people, I say, to me, it's like Stevie Wonder's birthday. Everyone who knows me knows I'm a Stevie Wonder fanatic. And I used to always celebrate Stevie's birthday. I had one friend that I would call and say, Happy Wonder Day. And now I'm a part of an international network of Stevie Wonder fans and fanatics. And we just go crazy on Stevie's birthday. People are traveling from the country.
And that goes to your village motif. I mean, there's a lot more people in the village now. You mentioned FCAA. I mean, just that alone. Well, I think I told you the last time, if we put everyone together that was involved with foster care, you'd have a city that could rival Atlanta. That's a lot of people. That's one big village.
And it makes us stronger, too, when you have us all together rather than doing it individual,
mm-hmm.
I think, anyway.
Exactly. So I'm glad to hear of all the doors that have opened for you and the doors that you're opening for others. So that's awesome. And my thing is, because we have this network, we have all of these people and organizations that are finding out that we're doing similar things, that we don't have to wait until May. We can actually sponsor something every month of the year. And I'm big on birthdays. So I believe that we can even do something around that for every single month of the year to keep foster care in the faces of the community. So thank you for that. Ms. Heather.
Yes.
I had the opportunity to share, and thank you for the invitation to share in one of the events with both you and Chris. Tell us about your activities for the National Foster Care Month this year.
Okay, you're fading a little bit. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Besides, I advocated, it takes a very long time to, first when you get a bill written, you have to check it to make sure it is what you wanted to say. And I've been working a lot with that, because then you had to make sure it becomes a bipartisan bill, and you have to get if you're a Democrat, you have to get a Republican, and it just keeps going. And takes a lot, and then you need to get press on it and to make the day, in people's minds, and it's just a lot of work, and that's what I've been doing a lot. I mean, I am a writer, so I've done some writing, but for lots of children, I've been trying to fight for our day.
I love it. So you're continually in the political arena and making contacts and connections just on a still on an ongoing basis.
It has to be. I mean, because it's you know, you can have other people represent you, but the bottom line is it's sort of your baby in a sense, and you're going to take control, and that's what I do. It's all the time. I make sure the bill is there. I'm trying to make sure to see if we can get other people to sponsor it. The more organizations, nonprofit organizations that are on the bill, the better that the bill will be able to be passed. And so I'm excited that we have our own, that we can have our own day national, not just New Jersey, because a lot of the kids can benefit from this. You get free driving lessons. If you're hungry and you need food, no questions asked. I mean, we try to help them in many ways. I'm from New Jersey. On December 12th, we've closed stores down. Beauty shops have done like a beauty, fostering beauty day. We it's a big deal now. It used to not be, but, you know, it's coming around.
Wow. And so this has been a holiday in New Jersey for 12 years now?
It was passed in 2000. Actually, originally I had it down as Orphan Day, but they didn't go for that because I think that, I actually coined the term, not that anybody really knows about it, but I coined the term foster orphan because we live in foster care, but many of us are left without family, and sometimes mm-hmm. we're actually more orphaned than an orphan. So instead of saying, a lot of times people don't understand the word foster care child, you know, or foster youth or whatever. They don't understand that. But if you they understand the word orphan. So if you put fostering orphan, we could be the new orphan. You know, and it allows, I don't want pity, but it allows more compassion and more empathy for who we are. And it may even open doors. You know, like when I first got out of the foster care system, it was very hard to get a job when you say that you're from foster care. But if you say something like you're a foster orphan, they don't hear the foster part. They hear the word orphan. And they have a little more compassion for you, and they're not going to judge you. Yeah, so that's why in my book, you know, Through the Eyes of an Orphan, I purposely use the word orphan because, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times when kids are in foster care, they're told they're not orphan. But they're, you know, a person who has parents and they're killed, in an accident or something, they have the memories of a loving family. They have values and traditions. A lot of kids in foster care don't have those things. So, you know, they are orphans. So I would rather say that I'm a foster orphan than to say I'm a youth. That sounds very institutional, but that's me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
people in a place where there's a heartfelt reaction. Because at least at foster care, you know, mm-hmm. there's that stigma that, okay, well, they just bounced around because, you know, they had issues. So when you say orphan, it takes the blame away from the child and puts it on the adult to say no one parented or nurtured this child, which is often the case. And there are people who did go through the foster care system who have that positive experience, but those that I've encountered, the numbers are a lot more higher for those who did not.
Well, I think that we all feel, even a person who has family, everybody feels orphaned at one time or another, whether they're temporarily left somewhere and they're suddenly by themselves and have to make decisions. Except the only difference between like a foster orphan is that those experiences are a daily basis. I mean, I personally didn't have any really good experiences and I was not adopted. So to me, to make me more resilient and to give me a strength, I'll just say I'm a foster orphan. I lived in foster care and I'm orphaned because I was not adopted. I have no family. I was abandoned. So I just think it's better to say it that way than to say foster child or foster youth. That's just my opinion.
Right. And everyone will hopefully determine what works best for them, what best decides what they want for people to see. And that's another perspective, to be respected. Indeed. Mm-hmm. What would those of us in other states need to do to promote National Foster the Care Day? And also, what is the difference between Foster Care Day and Foster Care Month?
Okay, glad you asked that. Actually, they weren't going to do Foster Care Month. They were going to do Foster Care Awareness. And I don't really like to mention names or whatever, but I can just say that I spoke with someone from the Foster Care Caucus who was not really very nice. And the person, this Foster Care Awareness, Foster Care Month, was actually taken from the bill that we wrote in 2000 because I helped write that, so I know what it says. So they copied it, and that's fine because whatever you can do for awareness, but they made it very quite clear to me that, oh, we have Foster Care Month. They changed it. So we don't need Foster Children's Day. So the people who's doing a foster care caucus don't even know what I'm talking about. So if they're not really aware of the foster care system, how can they run a foster care caucus? Of course, it's very different. We don't. Foster parents have their own day. Everybody else under the earth, a car, a jewelry, a cookie, everybody has their own day except for children in foster care. Why do we not have our own day? Why are we not acknowledged in any sense? And I say this from a person that has not been adopted, a person who sometimes has had, I'm not alone, but, you know, with the holidays, you're left alone, your birthday is sometimes forgotten. This would be a national day, and you can't forget it. So that's kind of what I want to do. I want to make it sort of like a Make-A-Wish Foundation, and our dreams can come true, and we can try. If someone wants to write a book, we can help them with funding, you know, that kind of thing. And it's to make our lives a little bit easier. And we're not asking for any money. I'm just asking to make the day national.
Mm-hmm. So it's really about, it's a day of action. It's a concentrated effort of individual and group action.
Right. Even though it's one day, some of the stuff like the driving lessons, which is a really big deal, you know, driving lessons can cost it almost $475 just for a few lessons. And it can get very expensive. But when you get driving schools that will give six kids each, you know, free driving lessons until they pass the test and everything, and you can't ask for anything more. Now, that child can go and work for FedEx or UPS or have those opportunities and have the door open. I think we're sort of repressed. I think we're not giving a lot of skills, and a lot of the former foster kids that leave the system are left, you know, sometimes they make under $25,000 a year in a single income. So it's time to have everybody become millionaires and everybody become, you know, financially stable.
Awesome. So, and when we close out this program, I would like for you to give us either a website or an email address or someplace that we can connect with to get information to be able to promote that in our individual areas. And it's just awesome because we have people on the lines and in our chat room from across the United States, from West Coast to East Coast. And I believe that we can all do our part. So that's very, very exciting. And I appreciate your sharing that with us. And the big day, tell us about the television and radio interview combined that we all did on the 15th.
Oh, well, Edison TV, I used to actually have my own talk show on there for about 6 years. So they're part of the mayor's office. Edison, the township that I live in, has been very supportive of me and Foster Children's Day. And they decided to tape it. Actually, the show is airing now. And we did WCTC, and it was great. I've been on their show 3 times, and almost always for Foster Children's Day. And we don't have a website. I mean, it's been me pushing everybody. So there is no website. But what people can do is do what they did, like go to WCTC or like Chris coming out and giving his own personal testimony and that kind of stuff, so they can see us a little bit and hear from us, not just like one person, but a lot of people. There's always power in numbers.
Yes, so. Yes. But I think contacting our local representatives and et cetera to know that the chain of command to move forward would be really helpful and give those of us.
Or if you have a nonprofit organization and you want to support the bill, you can call me and I can give you the congressman numbers and you can put your names on a bill. That's what I need right now. I need to have a lot of private organizations willing to take over. I do have foster parents already on the bill. I already have CASA. I have, you know, several other people on the bill, but the more the merrier.
Okay. And for those who are listening, contact you to get that information to be able to sign
Yep. Oh, where would they get it? They could, oh, USA Heather O'Neill at yahoo.com.
Okay. So that's USA Heather O'Neill, O-N-E-I-L?
Yeah, one L.
O-N-E-I-L.
Mm-hmm. At okay. yahoo.com.
Okay. We're going to post that in the chat room as well. Because I know that there are a lot of people who would be willing to just don't have the information, and that's our goal, is to put the information out there. Awesome. Well, I would like to share what Ms. E and Four Child Card did this year. Every year we try to do an event, and we call ours Foster Pride. It usually happens the third weekend in May, which is the week after Mother's Day and the weekend before Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And every year we usually have a different theme. Last year it was foster literacy, and all of our guest speakers were former foster youth who were authors, and they spoke to our young people, and we gave out books to the kids. We actually had it at one of the meeting rooms in the library, the local library. This year it was about fostering vision, and interestingly enough, it was the relaunching of our Vision for Child Card television program because we had not taped in over a year. So thanks to my foster son, we got my studio, part of my office, set back up again and started to do interviews. So my plan was to do a vision board group where we would all sit together and talk and go through magazines and pull things out. But attendance wasn't as well as I hoped for this year, but I'm one that believes in quality over quantity, and I'm almost willing to say that the quality was over the top. And I think we had so much fun. None of us finished our vision board that we knew where we were going with it. And one of the participants is actually in the chat room. I don't know if he's going to call in or not and share what that experience was for him. And but it was just a really great time for me. I think the highlight is my son, who was my foster son, this is the first year he was with me during this event, and he participated, and we actually got to do an interview together, and that was interesting. I just started to look at the footage today. But it's always a special time to bring people together who have shared similar experiences, to compare notes, but most of all to prepare their heart and their minds, because I see so much freeing and healing that comes from that process. It just amazes me. So that was the event that we sponsored, but I also had the opportunity to participate on a couple of radio programs for programs that are not youth or child welfare related. And I was most pleased with those because people stated that they walked away with a different perspective of foster care, and that was my whole intent. And they asked questions that we take for granted because it's been such a part of our lives for years, you know, so we do, you know, in as of having worked inside and outside of the system. And that was the thing that people to show that they really learned something and that they're going to take a different perspective now and perhaps even become more involved, even if it's in terms of mentoring or just whatever they can do to be a support, even if they don't become foster parents. And that was very important to me. And just to be aware, alert, and attentive to the needs of our youth in general. So that was our activity. In addition to doing this program every week, it was like, wow. So to do five radio shows back-to-back was almost a challenge, but not. It was just to finish up today's event. So I think the 15th, I called it Miss E's Day Around the Nation. Because I think
oh, that's nice.
And plus, I had ours, and it was like by the end of the day, by the next day, I said I was having jet lag. But it was an awesome time because it's exciting to have people to really get and understand what it is that we labor for, that we, you know, pray for, that we love for day in and day out, and to make it up close and personal. So for that, I'm very, very grateful. And my goal is to replicate that every month, that every month there will be at least two events that I will attend, that I will sponsor, that I will co-sponsor on behalf of foster youth. And that's going to be my commitment for the next 12 months, and I will be calling on some of you to assist me in doing that.
Absolutely.
For the support. Believe it or not, we have 10 minutes left, so we have a couple of callers, but I'm going to check and see if they have anything to say, and I'm going to jump back over into the chat room in a moment. Can't do it too fast because I don't want my ADD to kick in.
Now, are we giving away something?
Oh, yes!
See, I didn't forget. I wrote notes. I'm going by my cheat sheet here.
Okay. No, that's not the cheat sheet. That's your info sheet. We all need to be informed.
I know. Well, I call it my cheat sheet, but it's a sheet that you emailed me, so.
Intent was for anyone who has been a previous listener on the call, if they can tell us something that was stated, and I was going to come up with questions, but I didn't have the questions, but something that they recall from one of the previous broadcasts for this month. We've had four others. And if someone could just tell us what the highlight was or who one of the guests was and what was their primary message. So we will put that out and for our callers who would. And the prizes are I volunteered a copy of my book, It's Hard Work, Being the Village That Raises a Child. We have the book by Cookies, All Cookies Ain't Sweet. And I think we had a free issue of Foster Focus Magazine from Chris.
Oh, no, I'm giving the subscription away.
Say that again?
I'll give them a year. I'll give them a whole subscription.
Oh, wow. How nice.
I can add my book in there, too, if you want.
Now, Nikki Thompson flipped me a 20 to make sure she wins, so.
Okay. So if any of you are in the chat room and you are not on the call, this is the time to call in. I'm going to start taking comments from our callers before we run out of time. So we have someone from the 765 area, and that is in Indiana. Wow.
And you have Vita on the line, too.
Yes.
I forgot about her.
No, she's still here.
Oh, okay.
Hello. Welcome to Talk to Ms. E. Do you have something to say to our callers tonight?
Hello, this is Denise Brown Routson, and hi, Heather. I'm calling because I've helped Heather in the past with the design of the Foster Children's Day ribbon, and also with I'm a member of the Foster Care Alumni of America as well, and grew up in foster care. I am a proud foster alumni, and I am also a foster ally. I also volunteer as a CASA in the county that I live in, and I have been doing it for about 5 years now. I started off in an adjoining county, and I fight very hard for the kids that are currently in the system. And there needs to be a lot more done to change the laws. And I agree with Heather that we do need the Foster Children's Day. It needs to be national, not just in New Jersey.
I'm hoping. But Denise has been a real – I just want to say that Denise has really helped me tremendously from the very beginning. I've only been on Facebook for maybe – less than 6 months, and she helped me get friends and maybe a member of the Foster Care Alumni of America. She's the one that designed the ribbon, which is blue and gold, and she helped me tremendously. She gave us an identity, and I couldn't do a lot of things if it wasn't for Denise. So just want to say thank you.
You're welcome.
New friends on Facebook as well, so welcome. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
So you created the ribbon, and I just want you both to know that I forgot to thank you for my ribbon, Heather. I wore it along with my Foster Care Month ribbon, and I think you'll see it probably in one of our interviews because I think it fell off, and I put it on my guest.
You can reverse it. Actually, for child abuse awareness, you can reverse it because the other side is just blue. So it has a double use.
Yes, it does. But I love it for that reason. Yes, I do.
Too much. So have you listened to our call before, Denise?
This is the first time that I have listened to it. I'm sorry.
You have to start somewhere. So I hope this
yes.
is the beginning. Okay, we're going to clock over to Rita, who was on the call early, and someone just hung up, and he knows who it is. Rita, welcome to Heart Talk with Miss E. Can you, oh, there you are. Are you still there? Miss Perry? Okay, she disappeared.
I don't
too.
Hear. Yeah.
Well, yeah, she disappeared. Actually, everybody I've tried to bring in started to disappear. Okay. Okay. Maybe there was a break in the line or something. It's not my computer, I hope. I was very upset last Thursday. I was doing an interview, and I was doing it from the computer line. My phone LAN was connected, and everything just went silent in the middle of the interview. And I'm thinking it's the phone, and I realize, oh, I have no computer access. So one person said they had to step away for a minute, so perhaps they will be back. And, wow, I can't believe Serge was there all that time. Anyway, while we're waiting for the other two callers to call back, I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We have everybody that's on here. Let's check the chat room and see. Tom said, this is me. I was the hanger-upper. Well, call back. Okay. Oh, there's a lot of junk going on in the chat room. So,
mine was not a joke. I would like to switch jobs with Castro for a week, possibly. He's getting to live my dream. Maybe this is his. I'm hoping.
Okay. Now, you know, that's a good thought. You know, I tell people I couldn't dribble a ball, but I love basketball. It's my favorite sport. So I'm not athletic enough. Maybe we can do a basketball foster tournament or something. Just thinking. Things that just make you say, someone said a reunion. I said, well, we have to unite first to have a reunion. So we have to have a union. I'm thinking perhaps next May we can plan to do something in one or two locations. You know, maybe one East Coast, one West Coast, and I don't know. That's my
play the championship game in Kansas.
Championship game in what?
We'll play the championship game in Kansas. We'll meet right in the middle.
Oh, okay. And bring Toto too. And Tom is saying racquetball. Okay. But get back on the phone, Tom. So I'm going to allow each of our guests to give out your contact information and your website, so that people will know how to contact you. And tell us what's up next for you.
Tell us what, I'm sorry, I missed that
tell
part.
Tell us what's next for you and your organization. And I just want to say thank you that I was spotlighted for Humphrey House. Oh, that was the other highlight, too. I was highlighted for the 12 Wolf for League of America on the 15th. That was an awesome acknowledgement. Thank you to Mr. Chris. And I was highlighted by Humphrey House, courtesy of Dr. Humphrey. So I'm just teasing over here. You made the comment, Chris, that, you know, to be humble. But, you know, by the time you get acknowledgement after you've been beat down,
that is such an honest thing to say, to see.
It's like water on a parked tongue, because, you know, what I find is that going through this, when you're coming up against the system, you know, you're not really on their favorite list. Then even in advocating for our youth, between their misplaced and misdirected anger, you get it all on that end, too. And sometimes it feels like a thankless work. However, when you know, in my line, it's who you are and whose you are and why you're doing what you're doing, that makes it all palatable and even joyous.
but just for someone to acknowledge it, you know, not looking for a big hoopla, anything, just to acknowledge that it's making a difference. Not that I'm great, but that what I'm doing is making a difference. I think that's all we all want to know. But it feels good, and so I just appreciate the acknowledgement. And I continue to do this to give other people their props, but most of all to give the voice that's going to do something special in the lives of others. So, Chris, Cookie, Heather, please give us your contact information and website, if you will.
Ladies first. Go ahead, ladies.
I'll let Dr. Cookie.
Okay. Dr. Cookie Humphrey can be reached at www.cookiehumphrey.com. If you're interested in Castro or any of the other ball players, they can also be reached at that same website, and that's www.cookiehumphrey.com.
Yeah. So what did Castro do? I didn't get to zone in on that part. What did he do this year with the kids? He did our radio interview.
He did the same thing. All of the guys, they go out and they give out the books to the different companies and stuff. Yeah, that's what they do.
Okay.
They are because they're celebrities, so their face is normally the face that gets in the door.
Wonderful.
And it's the face that the kids really really recognize and would love to see and get autographs from and things of that nature, take pictures and stuff like that. So basically, I supply the books, and they pretty much go out there, they talk to the kids, and that's what they did this year. And I did the two group homes and did the area, the D.C. area, where I'm at. And remember, the last 2 years, I was overseas, so this really felt good to be hands-on this year.
Yes, yes. Actually, I think we made our first connection. You were in Thailand or Korea or somewhere.
Yeah, I was in Korea. Yep, I was in Korea. Yep.
Welcome. Amazing. And actually, giving a shout out to Stuart.
Absolutely, absolutely. Actually, tomorrow is his highlighting day. Today was yours.
Oh.
Tomorrow's his.
Okay. Is it Foster Care Connections? Is that his group?
FosterCare.org.
FosterCare.org. FosterCare.org, yeah. He's been very positive person that's just doing what he does quietly. I didn't even know who was behind it until I found out that I actually had access to the site and hadn't been using it, and I made a joke and wrote back. Everybody wrote back. It was for him. I said, oh, this is who this is. Yeah, this is quite, but thoroughly doing an excellent job.
Tremendous work.
Yes, he's in the Sacramento area, so we definitely have to hook up. And I see that we've missed Ms. Vita one more time. I don't know if her line is dropping or what's going on. And then we'll come back to Chris for you to give your contact information, that we have someone calling from the Southern California area if you'd like to chime in. Are you listening?
Yes.
Yes. Hi. Who's calling? This is Missy.
Hi there. My name is Sean.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm doing quite well. How are you?
I'm great. Sean is also one of the guests in our program. Actually, were you our first guest this year in January, correct?
Yes, that's right.
That's
and
right.
I just wanted to call. I heard the question sort of float by a little while ago, as to whether people feel that what they're doing for the foster kids makes any difference. And I'm a former foster kid, and I'm here to tell you it does make a huge difference. I remember not too long after going into foster care, some folks donated some tickets to us, and the house mothers took us to the Met. I was in New York City. In foster care, and they took us to the Met to see the Alvin Ailey Dance Theater perform. And I had never seen anything like that before. I went into the theater and I sat 10, maybe 12 rows back, dead center, and the lights went down, and then they came up again on the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen in my life. the colors and the music and the freedom in the movement were just absolutely amazing. They totally enveloped me, and they impacted my life such that I think I started dancing maybe a week later, and I danced for the next 15 years like my life was dependent on it. And I guess in some small measure it did. And that was because someone took the time to send some tickets to the foster kids. And it seemed like a small thing to them, but it was everything to me. It was huge to me. So I am a CASA as well. I've been a CASA for 6 years. I'm short selling my house and moving to another county. So I will re-up as a CASA in the new county. I don't have any kids right now, so it's actually good timing. But please continue to do the things that you're doing for the foster kids, because it's the small things that you do that make the biggest difference in kids' lives.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And every time you tell, you know, that about the ticket, I get good pimples, because I just realize it's those one-in-a-lifetime services, and the things that we hold back on that we think don't make any difference can impact a child's life forever. You know?
Absolutely.
And
I agree. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for calling in, son, and even just offering your support today when you got this email. I really, really appreciate it. You know, hoping that
I appreciate what you're doing. So I've shared it on my social media, and, you know, I just thank you for your tireless efforts on behalf of foster kids. They need you. They need all of us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, Chris, will you give us your contact information and your website?
Absolutely. Well, before I do that, I just wanted to just reiterate what she was saying about it making an impact on people. I was at the CWLA conference, and a foster parent actually came up to me and asked me if I would write a little note to one of her foster kids that's having a hard time, because I've done something. So, yeah, I completely reiterate what she's saying. It does matter to the kids, and moreover, I think it matters a lot to the foster parents of these kids. They're very aware of the situation that their kids are in, and they really want to give them reasons to believe that it's going to get better. So, you know, if we can participate in making them feel like it's going to get better, then we will. Okay, so fosterfocusmag.com is the website. And, of course, we have the print subscriptions that you can get. We've got the digital subscriptions that you can get. We've got single digital issues if you just want to get a taste of what we're doing. So, we've got a lot going on. Don't forget that there's an auction. You can find that right on the front page of the website. And, of course, I fail to mention this every time I talk to you, but I get headlines from across the country each Sunday night, and I put them on the website, so that when everybody goes to work the next day, they're fully prepared to talk about what's going on in the rest of the country as far as foster care news and information. So, you know, feel free every Sunday to get in there and see everything that's going on in the country. Takes me a couple hours to do it, but it takes me about 20 minutes to go through them all. So it's a good way to get a jump on your day and your work week and all that other good stuff. Thanks for having me again, Missy. It's been an honor to sponsor the show this month.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And I'm just always just amazed to know that everyone who's doing anything is usually doing it all.
Yeah, I have to. You can't depend on anyone else.
You know, labor and burn the midnight oil, and I'm online telling people to go to bed. So it's just amazing that we keep each other supported. The other question that I wanted to ask very quickly, I was going to ask, out of all of the things that we've done during the course of this month, what impact do you think it would have had on your life as a former foster youth, or as a foster youth, if someone had done these things when you were in the system? Things that you would have done.
Might have given me a little bit more direction. Might have kick-started something a little bit earlier. I kind of feel like this would have been a lot easier and a lot more fun if I would have done it when I was 20 before the three kids and all the bills that come into play. But I would have more time to enjoy it. But I think it would have been good to hear people talking about what I was going through. But you got to remember, back at the turn of the century, 1999 to 2000, information was limited. Al Gore had barely invented the internet, and we had to go through the library to get our info. So if I would have had more access to the info, I would have started on all this sooner, and maybe some of the great organizations that have been lost over the last 10 to 15 years that really could have had an impact might have had a longer shelf life, could have helped some more people. So I think talking about it keeps a lot of these places going, a lot of these nonprofits. I'm sure the Humphrey House loves to have their name said so that people know what they're doing. And of course, you know, Heather likes to have people, you know, talking about the National Foster Care Day, and we love talking about it, Heather. But with these things are finally getting some light, and I think that's the most important part of the whole equation, is that there wasn't this access. There was a little bit of I don't know if we were shy or if we were just under in the dark or whatever the case was. We're a lot more visible now. There's no stigma attached when we talk about it, and hopefully that's transferring out to the rest of the world, where they say foster kid, they don't make that foster kid faith. And I think everyone that's talking on the line right now knows the foster kid faith. Oh, you're a foster kid. Head goes to the side. They get a little sad in the face. Yeah, that face. And so we don't see that face anymore. So that's always a good thing.
Yes, yes. Heather or Cookie, would you like to come in on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I think when he said he didn't realize, when Chris said that, you know, we didn't come out that often, I think a lot of times people were afraid to. I mean, some have biological parents that were not nice to them, and maybe they feared coming out and speaking out. And I think a lot of it was fear that people didn't come out, you know. I mean, I had a certain fear, but I mean, I never met my biological family, but I mean, I had a fear of going out and just being scared. You're very vulnerable. When you have no family, you are vulnerable. So maybe you don't want to expose. I mean, the ones that are not adopted are not going to go out and tell you how alone they are, because that would make them extremely vulnerable. So maybe that's the reason a lot of people didn't come out, because some of them that were not adopted or would be afraid to.
Mhm. Mhm. Exactly. And that's my goal as well. Thank you. And Cook?
Yeah, I just wanted to piggyback. Chris definitely highlighted a lot of good information. Again, definitely the resources just wasn't available at the time. And I would also, not knocking the system, but I would also say, you know, I see a difference in the social workers today. You know, I see a difference in the way that they interact with the children. Not all, but a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes a difference, too, when a child is able to communicate and share a certain bond with the social worker, because that builds trust. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important. Yes, I had that. But when I was going through the system, a lot of kids didn't have that. And actually,
yeah,
a lot of kids were kind of jealous of the relationship that I had with my social worker, because she did take time just to come and have lunch with me at school and just, mm-hmm, you know, to talk to me. So I think that's very important. And then, again, there was a stigma that was really relevant back then, when I was coming through the trenches, which I don't see as much now. So kids are a little bit more open about talking about, yes, I live in foster care, and tell you a little bit about their story or the journey or how have you. So, you know, I think we're moving towards a better place, and I can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that we still have, you know, more work to do, but there's people like us who put in the time and the effort to do it, to make change. And that's a positive thing. And then there are so many other people like us doing the same thing. And then real quickly, I will also say,
I was hoping that V would be on this call. There wasn't programs like the programs Vita is offering right now in terms of the creative writing and the dancing and the whole performing arts world that organizations are offering. And I think that that's very important because you have a lot of kids that can only express themselves through that type of form, poetry and things of that nature. So I think that that's an excellent platform.
Yes, definitely. It's going to take everyone. It's the whole village. And we have one more caller, and this is my new son. And thank God for the internet that I've had an opportunity to converse with him for over a year now on Facebook, and had the opportunity to meet him this month. Are you there, Tom?
Hello.
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 How are you?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. I'm glad I made it. I was running a little late from work.
Yeah, but you made it. I am so glad. And I've decided that, you know, when you adopt someone, you usually give them your last name. So now I've just decided everyone I adopt, I'm just going to put E on the last name. So Tom E. And it was just awesome being able to spend time with you, Tom. Did you have any comments about our time together a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, it's been a whole 10 days since I saw you. I miss you.
Oh, miss you too.
Hey, that was a great pleasure. You know, I really, really appreciate what you do. And, you know, being a former foster kid myself, you know, I really appreciate, you know, everybody who makes effort to make life better for kids in the system. You know, right along with our caller from Southern California. And mm-hmm. I'm acquainted with everybody, you know, here through Facebook. And I haven't written a book or anything. I'm not head of an organization. I just make kind of a wisecrack on Facebook once in a while. But, hey, wanted to call in and just show some love to you guys.
Yes, and you do more than give wisecrack. You have a really profound insight into things, and you encourage others, and you share, and you're transparent yourself, which allows us all to grow. So I appreciate that. And, you know, just meeting you was just so much fun, and I think I told you, so if nobody shows up, it'll just be us. You said, hey, that'll work for me. So we had a good time. What was it like? We didn't get to finish our vision board. What was that like for you, and what was it like doing the interview?
Oh, I enjoyed it a lot. The vision box was a chance to open up some of the things mm-hmm. deep within, you know, that we kind of pass over. As adults, we get so bogged down with the treadmill, you know, we got to work and pay bills. And if you're just coming out of the foster care system, yeah, you're going to have a lot of things taking over your attention, mm-hmm. transitioning into adulthood, and I'm a little further along. But it's still very important to have a vision for your future. You know, you don't have that, like trying to shoot a basket and you don't even see where the hoop is.
Okay. I love it. Where's Castro for that one? Awesome. And were you nervous when we did the interview?
No. That's to your credit. You have a real talent for engaging people in conversation, making it easy to talk with, and You know, I meant to say earlier, you really bring out good things in people. You shine a light. And I think a lot of kids need that, too. People need some recognition for the good that is within them, and they need that drawn out. You're really good at that, and we get a lot of people doing that.
Thank you. Well, it was a joy having you. I can't wait till we get it all edited, and we will have you back again. And It's just nice to be able to reach out and touch somebody, you know, besides just on Facebook. So it was like, I was all like a little kid. I was all excited myself. And I say this, Heather made a comment about, you know, being orphaned and not having family. And people always ask me if I came from this, you know, was I a product of the foster care system? And a lot of people are surprised to find out not. But they wanted to know, what is it? Actually, that came up in one of the interviews. What is it that has given me such a bond? And I think that inside of us, we all have that desire, that need for connectedness and belonging. And as a child, I was only child until I was 11, but then, you know, basically an extended family was not in the area, so there really wasn't any, you know, real extended family. And as an adult, I still say to people, I say, well, you know, I think I want the same thing as the kids want. I want a family. And my issue becomes more like some of the kids do, is that the children that I feel like that I have connected with, when they get grown, they have their family, they go back and make reconnect with their foster family, and I'm not a priority. So I said, you know, Mrs. Song, sometimes I feel like a motherless child, sometimes I feel like a childless mother. But I think emotion, when someone can connect and understand that the true emotion underneath there, we can all do a better job at reaching out to one another and meeting that need for each of us. So that's really us all about, a heart-to-heart connection. So thank you, Tommy, for calling in. Thank you for all of our callers and all of the people in the chat room. Nikki said, you have us, Miss E. And she said, didn't I get an E? So I spelled her name N-I-C-K-E. She said, there we go. So I am just grateful, and I encourage you, if this was your first time, to please tell someone else to call in. You can listen to this. This call will actually be archived probably within the hour. You can post it on your wall and have other people to listen. And you can go to our Blog Talk site or our website, www.oracalcart.org, and go to the radio page. And you can see listen to every radio program we've done. You can also go to TV and see our television interviews. So we're looking forward to seeing you, to hearing you, to working with you throughout the course of the year, and hopefully we'll have even more to share when National Foster Care Month comes again and when we all get to celebrate National Foster Children's Day. Did you give your contact information one more time, Heather?
Okay, USA Heather O'Neill with one L at yahoo.com. People can also find me on Facebook if they would like, and I'm always talking about Foster Children's Day, and we have a lot of former foster children on my site, so everybody is welcomed.
Wonderful. And actually, Heather is going to be one of our featured guests in the upcoming couple of months, and sharing about her book, From Through the Eyes of a Child. I don't have it in front of me.
It's Orphan. Through the Eyes of an Orphan, and I've written a total of 5 books, but Through the Eyes of an Orphan is one that's the most popular.
All right. Well,
that title
is
strong.
I have to take it bits and pieces at a time. It's like I find myself getting upset at certain persons in the book. So, but I think
did you read it?
I'm in the middle of it now.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of it. Yeah. So we will talk about it when we have you on. Either the end of next month or the beginning of July. I have to go to do some dates because I missed someone that I was supposed to do, and then we have a local event coming up that I want to promote before it happens on the 26th. But you're definitely coming up, and I will get to share all of my frustrations. No, it's just a hard jerker, really, really. So thank you,
Misty.
Yeah.
Misty, I have one more note before we get off the air here. I wanted to leave everybody with a good feeling in their heart, because I know that's your thing. Today, our friend, Foster Focus' friend Jimmy Wayne, the country singer in Tennessee, signed the bill that got the age extended to 21 in Tennessee as law now. So,
oh, wow.
Yes. Thanks to Jimmy Wayne for doing the legwork, and it's starting to pay off. So I think everybody should feel good about foster care and everything that you guys are doing and everything that's going on out there.
Awesome. Thank you for
Excellent.
Sharing that. So if someone can say, you heard it first on Heart Talk.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. So we have gone way over, but I'm sure I haven't seen anyone hang up or jump out the chat room, or there are a few Z's in this. But this has been awesome. So I look forward to your support and your calling in on an ongoing basis. So thank you very much, everyone, and God bless.
Thank you. Thanks
thank
for
having
you.
Me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Cookie.
Yes.
I think we need to link up.
Absolutely. I'm on your site right now as we speak.
go to the guest speaker section. I wanna,
okay, I'm
I
leaving.
Wanna, I am,
bye, Dr. Cookie. Nice to meet you.
Heaven's in love, these are children are dying at the hands of the other child. I know her heart is breaking, feel the earth is shaking. Red rivers flow from the tears she cries. She cries.